Hi, and welcome to Glad Tidings. Today we have Pastor Kelvin Lee sharing the word with us. May this message encourage you in your faith journey.
What a great joy to be in Glad Tidings this morning to share the word of God. I just thank your pastor for the awesome honor to be with you here. As you know, we all just celebrated the Lunar New Year. I'm sure you know that the Lunar New Year is also called the Spring Festival. And we are now in the spring season, actually. And God has created four wonderful seasons. And my wife and I, we lived in Hong Kong for 2 years, and we just enjoy the four seasons. But people say spring is the king of seasons. Spring is the king of seasons. Why? Because spring is about new beginnings, renewal, and transformation. It's the season that symbolizes, you know, new start and starting over once again. It's a time where the world takes on a fresh new look altogether. The trees begin to put on leaves. The grass start to turn green. And the flowers, you know, begin to bloom again. The snow is melting. The temperature is rising. The birds are singing again. The animals are roaming around again. The farmers are smiling. And golfers coming out of hibernation. It has to be spring, the wonderful season of the year. But God, church, this morning, I want you to know that our God, He is the God of spring. And that is my title, the God of spring. Because our God is about new beginnings. It's about transformations. It's about new encounters and new breakthroughs. That we know that in our God, He makes all things beautiful in His time. Because He's the God of spring. Spring is about new beginnings. And therefore, in the Lord, no matter what situation we're in, there's always a new beginning. There's always a new chapter. There's always a new season. That in the Lord, there's always a way provided for us. Because in Him and through Him, that's where we experience God's powerful breakthroughs in our lives. And therefore, I want you to know, whatever you're going through, God, your God, is the God of spring watching over you. That's why this morning, I'd like to highlight three pictures of the God of spring. The first picture, God the Pursuer. God the Pursuer. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 3, the Bible says, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. You notice the phrase, He will appear, He will come to us. Imagine the great and the mighty God, He comes to us. That's why two words here, initiative and intimacy. In that God always takes the initiative to reach out to us, reach out to you and to me. We all, most of us here, we accepted Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. So there was a time where the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, He took the initiative and began to reach out to us. And that's why we come to know our Lord. God always takes the initiative. You remember in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, what did they do? They went into hiding. Because full of guilt in their hearts for what they have did, they went into hiding. And that's where God appears Himself in the Garden of Eden And he asked the question, Adam, where are you? He was searching out for Adam. He was reaching out to him. It was not Adam that asked the question, God, where are you? But rather God asking the question, Adam, where are you? God always takes the initiative. That's why God wants us to enter in a deeper relationship with Him, and the word is intimacy. It's about our walk with God. God wants us to enter into a deeper relationship with Him that we may know Him more and more. That's why the Apostle Paul, his heart's desire was that I may know Him. And you know, Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. We must always remember that. And therefore, I pray that this year, 2024, that you will seek to enter into a deeper relationship with Him, that you will grow to know the Lord more. Yes, God pursue after us. We must also pursue after God. That's why our response should be, one, to acknowledge Him, and two, that we can approach God with a great sense of assurance and confidence. No matter what, God is always there for us. First, we are to acknowledge Him, that He is the God of my life, that He is the Lord who has a great plan for my life, that is the God who is in control of my life. We acknowledge Him for who He is, and therefore, whatever our situation, we come before His presence with a great sense of assurance. Approach His throne of grace, knowing that God is there to meet our needs. God is there to answer our prayer. God is there to touch us. Therefore, knowing that God is the pursuer, it gives us great, you know, sense of assurance that we can come before His presence. And that's where we can experience God in a very powerful way. So this morning, whatever your need may be, whatever your situation may be, I pray that you begin to come and approach God, knowing that your God is the God of spring. He can make all things beautiful in your time, in your situation, and He can bring about a new breakthroughs, a new beginnings in your life. And someone says, amen. First, the God, the pursuer, and second, God, the provider. God, the provider, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 14, then I send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Amen. You will eat and be satisfied. I know some of you are thinking about what to eat for lunch already. You will eat and be satisfied. There is the promise of the Lord to His people that He will take care of us. He will provide for us because He is the provider. He is the Jehovah Jireh. Therefore, the God of spring is the God of great, amazing provider. And because He is the provider, therefore, there's a time to gather and a time to gratify. A time to gather the blessings of God. Just like a farmer, there's a time to gather the harvest. And for you and me, there's a time for us to gather and experience the blessing of God, the provision of God, the goodness of God, whatever that may be. I'm sure most of us here, or every one of us, we have experienced God's provision in one way or another. If I were to come to you and ask you, share with me a testimony of God's provision, I'm sure you have a testimony to share because you experience that your God is a wonderful provider. Right? You have gathered and you have gratified. In a sense, you enjoy the goodness and the blessings of the Lord. For Karis and I, in our years in the ministry, we have experienced God powerfully, amazingly. If I were to stand and share with you every testimony, let me say this, it will take at least until 6 p.m. and you will miss your lunch. But we thank God for the great privilege of experiencing God's provision, you know, throughout the years. And as I mentioned, there are so many testimonies. Let me just share with you just one. I stepped down for succession to take place, and for Caris, her heart's desire has always been to go and visit her brother in New York and two sisters in Toronto. So that was our plan. After we stepped down, we will go for an extensive, you know, vacation, because since I stepped down, the wonderful thing is that I don't have to take leave. Now my leave is 365 days a year. So we decided to go for an extensive holiday, so we planned for it. Then one day, a member called me. He said, "Pastor, can we have lunch with you?" I said, "Sure." And then at lunch, he also brought another member. Then at the end of lunch, he said to me, "Pastor, last night I had a dream, and you were in the dream. And this brother is also in the dream." And he said, "In the dream, somehow, you know, we talk about your coming trip, your coming vacation to US and to Canada." He said, "Pastor, to cut a long story short, we just want you to know that because of this dream, we have decided to sponsor your trip." Hallelujah. And he said, "Pastor, we will purchase a premium economy tickets for you." Not just economy tickets, but premium economy. A bit more leg room. I wish more of my members were such dreams. Amen. And 1 week, then 1 week later, another member called me. Wow. I like the wow. He said, "Pastor, I heard about your trip to the States. My husband and wife, we want to sponsor your trip." I said, "Thank you so much. Someone has already, you know, sponsored our tickets, premium economy." Then there was silence for a moment. And then she said, "Pastor, if that's the case, it is okay. We will upgrade your tickets." Wow! To business class. Wow! So we slept all the way to New York. We were so satisfied. Thank God for His amazing provision. God is a provider. Amen. Tell your neighbor, "The Lord is your provider." But this morning, I want to say to you, God is not just our Jehovah Jireh. He's also our Jehovah Esser, the Lord our help. Whatever your situation, God will help you because He's our Jehovah Esser. He's also our Jehovah Nisi, in that His banner of victory is over our lives. Amen. He's also our Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He's also Jehovah Shama, the Lord who is there. That means the Lord is always with us in every situation, and He goes before us. And He's also Jehovah Sabaoth, because He's the Lord of hosts and the battles belong to Him. So just know that He is the God of your life. That's why our response should be two words: trustful and thankful. First is be trustful. Trust in the Lord your God. You know Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall make your path straight. Trust in the Lord. Scripture from time to time has warned us not to put our trust in people, not to put our trust in organizations, not to put our trust in our own human resources, even our bank account, our bosses, whatever that may be. We thank God for all these resources, but ultimately, our trust is in the Lord. That's why the Bible says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, we will trust in the name of the Lord, our God. So church, whatever you're going through, put your trust in the Lord and always be trustful. Because the God of spring is about new beginnings. That God can give you a new experience, a new chapter, a new direction in your life, a new way for you to walk on, a new path. There's always something new in our God of spring. And therefore, we always put our trust in the Lord. Some of you, you are at a point where your children are growing up. And there can be an issue of concern. You put your trust in the Lord. You commit your children to the Lord. And young people, you may be concerned about your future. But I want you to know that God is your future. He holds your future in His mighty hand. You trust the Lord with your life. And others in your work, in your business, you surrender your work, you surrender your business to the Lord, and you trust the Lord that you, as a child of God, you experience your wonderful hand of God in a powerful way because He is the God of spring. Amen. So be trustful and then be thankful. Live life with a thankful heart. Live life with a grateful heart. And that is so important. Some people I know, you may not know them. Got job, they complain. No job, also complain. Got food to eat, also complain. No food, also complain. Got wife, complain. No wife, also complain. Tell your neighbor, he's not talking about you.
We hope that you are enjoying the message so far. If you would like to know more about our church and get connected, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Now let's get back to the Word.
Always have the tendency to complain and to murmur. And somehow they miss the whole point that they are to live a life with a heart of thankfulness for the blessings of God. No, life, we cannot compare our lives with others. We are all blessed differently. So in our own way, we give thanks to the Lord for the way He has led us, the way He has blessed us. There's someone, you know, pray this prayer. She said, God, You have given me so much. Give me one more thing. Give me a grateful heart. And that's so important. I pray that will also be your prayer. God, give me a grateful heart. Do you know that grateful people are happy people? But ungrateful people are unhappy people. So live with a grateful heart. Because that is so powerful with the attitude of gratitude. And that's why you will continue to experience God in a very powerful way. There's this story, I wonder if you heard of it before, about this old lady, very poor, but very godly, very prayerful, and always live life with a heart of gratefulness. Even though she has little, but she's always trustful and always thankful. The only thing about this old woman is that her neighbor, you know, was an atheist, a man who don't believe in God and always, you know, tease her. Why do you believe in God? Your God is not a good God. And always teasing her. But this woman, no matter what, kept her heart and always prayerful, always thankful. One day, her groceries just ran out and she was in need. And she knelt down and she prayed. Asking God, Lord, that You once again will provide for my needs. And at that very moment, the old man, the neighbor, the atheist, just walked past and saw her, you know, kneeling down and praying. And he went forward and he heard her prayer, asking God to provide for her. So when he heard that, he immediately ran down to the nearest grocery shop, bought some rice and canned food and other stuff, and then bring it back and put the bag of grocery in front of the woman's door. And he knocked, and then he hid himself behind a tree. Then the woman opened the door, and she saw the grocery in front of her, and she was so thankful. Immediately she raised her hands and said, "Lord, thank you so much. You are my provider. Always provide for me." At that very moment, the old man jumped out. And he said to the old woman, "Ha ha, I caught you this time. I want you to know this bag of grocery, your God did not provide, I provided. I am your provider. I am your provider." Immediately, the woman again raised her hand and said, "Oh God, you are so amazing. You are so marvelous. You provided for me, and this time you used the devil to provide for me." Hallelujah. Always be thankful. Be trustful and be thankful. That should be our response, knowing that our God is a great and wonderful provider. So God the pursuer, and secondly, God the provider. And the third picture of the God of spring is that He is God the promise keeper. Amen. God the promise keeper. In Joel chapter 2, verse 23, "Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the autumn rains because He is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before." He is faithful. We worship a faithful God. He is a promise keeper. And because He is the promise keeper, I want you to know this, the spring will come and supply will come. Spring will come and supply will come. First spring will come. You see, as you look at the world, no matter what change will take place in our climate, after winter will always be spring. After winter will always be spring. Spring will always come at that particular time and season of the year, because God has ordained, God has created the four seasons, and therefore spring will always come. In the same breath, church, God has given us promises. His promises are yea and amen. And therefore, His promises will be fulfilled, because He is a promise keeper. And therefore, we learn to stand on the promises of His word. And therefore, whatever situation we are in, we believe that spring will come and supply will come. In that, in your situation, whatever your needs may be, whatever you're going through, you've been praying, you've been seeking the face of God. You know, spring has not come, your supply has not come yet, but know that because He is the promise keeper, your spring will come and your supply will come. You just have to keep on believing and keep on acknowledging that He is the God of your life. So therefore, church, spring will come, supply will come. But I have a sense in my heart, maybe some of you here this morning, you are still in the winter season. Now it's spring, but you're still in the winter season. Winter can be nice, but when the winter is too harsh, you won't enjoy that kind of winter. If you live in Toronto, it can be tough during winter times, especially when the snowfall is so heavy. And you are locked in the house. You cannot go out. You go out, you're going to shower the snow. You feel the soak, you feel the cold, and then you just feel miserable, and you just can't wait for spring to come. Maybe some of you here this morning, in your own life, you find yourself in a situation that you are feeling miserable. You are not finding great joy. You are locked up. You find yourself in a corner, and you can't wait for a change in your situation. You can't wait for a new season to come, a new chapter to come. But at the moment, you feel like you are in a prison. Maybe you are in such a situation, but God is saying to you, my sons, my daughters, your spring will come. Your supply will come. You keep on trusting in the Lord your God, that somehow you got to believe that your God of spring will bring about a powerful breakthrough in your life, in His time and in His way. That's why the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 7, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield his valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rain. The farmer has to wait. He has to wait patiently for the spring rain to come. And the word of the Lord is be patient. And that's the word of the Lord to you and to me, for many of us here, is be patient. Yes, it is difficult to wait. We don't enjoy waiting. We want God to answer our prayer, not today, but yesterday. As soon as possible. Now, God. But there's a time that we need to wait. Waiting is not having a spirit of resignation, but rather this kind of waiting is waiting with expectation. Waiting with a great sense of hope that somehow the breakthrough will come. The promise keeper, he will bring about the fulfillment of his promises in my life, in my situation. And therefore, as I wait, I hold on to God's promises. I keep on believing. I don't give up. I don't surrender. But rather, I keep on declaring that my God is a promise keeper. Because I know spring will come, supply will come somehow. According to God's way and God's timing, He will bring about that breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Amen. And therefore, church, whatever you've been waiting, just continue to look to the Lord. My mother-in-law was a hard nut to crack. Really hard, really. She was a staunch idol worshiper. You go to her home, the ceiling is black because of the smoke from the joss sticks. And not only that, she is also a deep gambler. Gambling all the time. And therefore, since Caris became a Christian, she brought her 5 other siblings to the Lord, and they've been praying for the salvation of her parents, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. But for many, many years, somehow in her own natural eyes, we could not see how she could ever come to know the Lord, because her heart is so hardened. I want Caris to come to share with you her testimony, how she experienced the God of spring, the promise keeper.
Yes, truly God is the promise keeper. I remember there was once one weekday prayer meeting in the church. I was so tired. I've done all ways and means to bring my parents to the Lord. You name it, I've done it. Prayer, fasting, invitation to concerts, you name it, or what, evangelistic dinner, you name it, I've done it. For 20 over years, not a single movement in my mom's faith. And I told the Lord, God, I'm very tired, you know. That's why the Bible says, don't grow weary. But I say, God, I'm really weary, very, very weary. But God, You are the promise keeper. Just like a child, your child says, Dad, you promised to bring me to a swimming pool. You keep your promise, right? So I say, God, you said, I didn't say, you said in your word, Acts 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord, you and your household will be saved. I say, God, you say, I didn't say, you honor your word. And I held God to it. And I say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do because my siblings are in America and Canada. I'm in Singapore, my brother in Indonesia, and only one sister in Kota Bharu. How are my parents going to know the Lord? Her friends are not Christians, gamblers, all pre-believers. By my natural eyes, no way. But you know, God works in mysterious ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Shortly, 6 months after I really waited with hope on the Lord, one day my mom called me and she said, you better pray for your father. He's very sick and he's going to die. I had a shock that my mother would call me to pray. I believe she must have prayed to her other gods. Didn't work. So try my God, nah. So I was taken aback. And I said, okay, I can't pray in Chinese. Never pray in Chinese. But somehow the Spirit will give you the anointing. I prayed with her in Cantonese. I never studied Chinese, okay? I prayed with her in my broken Cantonese, but every word I said was from my heart. And the Spirit prompted me to just pray for her. So I prayed with for her and my father in broken Cantonese, whatever vocab that I knew, squeeze it out. And I said, okay. And she was crying. And I said, can I ask the Chinese pastor to come over and pray for father? She said, yes, please, pastor. She was desperate. She was desperate. I said, God, work through this situation. When you have a test, then you have a testimony. And so we called up the pastor. She went to pray for my dad every day. And within the week, my father got well. And so the pastor extended invitation to my mom and said, Mrs. Leong, this weekend, we are having a special meeting. Can you please come? Would you like to come? Now, these things were related to me after my mom accepted the Lord. In her mind, she was saying, this pastor is so nice. Every day come and pray for my husband. Out of obligation, she said, okay. Then she said, this is what I plan to do. When I come to the church, because my parents drive, so she said, when I park the car, I will park outside the church. I don't want to be blocked. I park my car, I walk into church. I know the pastor will be standing outside there to shake hands. I make sure I see the pastor, I shake the pastor's hand. Then I sit right at the back. When the people stand up to worship, I will leave the church quietly. And that's it. She did this. Life with church, any connection, that's it, done. I've done my part. And that was what she told me. And so she went to church, the pastor shook her hand, and the pastor said, oh, Mrs. Lee, I'm so happy to see you. Please come. She refused to let my mother's hand go. Come, 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 sit in front. And brought her to the third row. And so my mother and my parents sat down. They said, oh, Jem, her plan didn't work. You know how God thwarts our plan sometimes? His ways are really higher. And then she said, okay, my mom is a very intelligent woman. And so she said, okay, now I'm Jem. Never mind, 2 hours, tong. You know, I just endure for 2 hours. And that's it. 2 hours, fine. After that, I am done with church. And so the service went on. At the end of the service, the special speaker pointed out and said, you, the woman in yellow. Then she like, she's the only one in yellow along her line and behind her. Then she said, you have a neck problem, right? My mother has what we call stiff neck, really stiff neck. You tap on her shoulder, she can't turn her neck. She has to move her whole body because she has pain in her neck. Then my mother was wondering, how did this speaker know that I have a neck problem? She said, you come, I pray for you. So my mom went to the front and prayed for, the speaker prayed for my mom. My mom told me later that the pastor said, close your eyes. I close my eyes. I make sure I stand properly, that I don't faint. Because she has never been to church. And then she said, When the pastor prayed for me, I could feel a warm sensation from the top of my head to my toe. She's not a Christian, has never been prayed before. And this was exactly what she said. The Spirit of the Lord touched her. And then after prayer, she opened her eyes. And the pastor said, "You turn around and look at your husband." She turned her neck. My dad was so surprised. My mom was instantly healed that morning. Really, praise God. She experienced the touch of God. And that's not the end. The pastor asked her, "Would you like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" And she said, "Yes." Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it's so difficult when you have challenging parents, challenging children, challenging colleagues, siblings. God is a promise keeper. Don't give up. We prayed for 20 over years. My mom accepted the Lord. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. The God of spring will make all things new in His way, in His time. And later, my mother-in-law, she decided to follow the Lord in water baptism. Praise the Lord. And because I am in Singapore, you know, they are in Ipoh. Actually, I wanted to baptize her myself. But I could not, since I'm in Singapore. Because if I were to baptize her, because she don't like me. She told Caris, "Why you want to marry a poor pastor? You have engineer, doctor, lawyer interested in you, but why you want to go along with this poor pastor?" So she did all ways and means trying to stop our relationship. But we press on. So if I were to baptize her, you know what I would do? I put her under water a little bit longer. "Ah, you don't like me, huh? You don't like me, huh?" Of course, I will not do that. We love her with the love of the Lord. But actually, the other story is how my father-in-law came to know the Lord. There's also another powerful miracle. Maybe next time, we'll share with you. But Carrie just experienced the amazing hand of our promise keeper. Miraculously, her mother came to know the Lord. And therefore, in your situation, whatever they may be, you look to the Lord and say, "God, in your time, you make all things possible." That's why what should be our response? One, to lean on the faithfulness of our God. Learn to lean means you rely and you depend on God. You don't depend on yourself. You keep praying. You keep seeking the face of God. And you just say, "Lord, I trust in you." You keep leaning. And second is to, you know, just learn to work while you wait. Waiting is not waiting without doing anything. But as I mentioned, it's waiting with expectation. And on your part, whatever you need to do, you do. And as you wait, as you do your part, God will do His big part. As you do our part, God will do His part. There's a great divine principle. The problem is sometimes we only want God to do His part, but we refuse to do our part. So learn to work while we wait. And there are three areas, especially we learn to wait and be patient. First area is patient when things are uncontrollable. There are situations we are not in control. And therefore, we learn to surrender to the one who is in control. You surrender your situation to the Lord. And second, we have, you know, situation, things that happen we could not explain away, unexplainable. We could not understand with our own human mind, human understanding, why must this happen to my life? Why this accident? Why this strategy? Sometimes we could not understand, but then that's where we learn to wait on the Lord. We know that God has a good plan for our lives. We know that God knows what is best for us. So we be patient every way. And also we wait when certain people seem unchangeable. There's people who are the same, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. All right? But with God, all things are possible. I've seen how my mother-in-law, her life was changed and transformed. You know, she has a cell group and she began to reach out to her friends and she became a witness for the Lord. The Lord changed her life. And I've seen people, you know, drug addicts, you know, and other forms of negative behavior, but the Lord has changed their lives. God is in the business of transformation. Therefore, we learn to look to the Lord and say, God, I cannot change this person. I cannot change my boss. Right? You cannot change my boss. And sometimes we pray the prayer, Lord, you remove my boss. Well, you can pray, but ultimately, what is important is say, God, you improve my boss. Don't just remove him, but improve him. So there are situations in our lives we just need to be patient and keep praying, keep believing, and keep trusting. And I know that some of you are in such a situations. But this morning, God is saying to you, He is your promise keeper. Whatever He has promised you, whatever what you have received from the Lord, you hold on to it and say, God, I hold on to your promises and I believe that one day spring will come, supply will come because you are my promise keeper. So the God of spring, God the pursuer, God the provider, and God the promise keeper. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise you, O God, that we can come into your presence, O God, knowing that you are the God of spring, the pursuer, the provider, the promise keeper, O God. Father, this afternoon I pray that you will minister to your people in a very special way. You know their situations. You know what they're going through. You know the heartaches and the heartbreaks also. But I pray, oh God, as your people look to you this morning, the Lord, that you, the God of spring, you will begin to shower, Lord, the spring waters on their lives and situation. Make it new. Bring about a renewal, a transformation, oh God, a fresh start, oh God, a new beginning, oh God, that you will do your awesome work, oh God, in the lives of your people. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, even at Hall 2 and those watching online, God wants to minister to you in a very special way. But I just sense in this service, first of all, I want to pray for those of you, you know, that you are, you know, at a crossroad of your life. Maybe you are in a transition. You're at a point you have to make a decision. Or maybe you're in a situation you just transit in and you just not comfortable, you don't know whether to move forward or to just, you know, step backward. So you are in such a situation, a crossroad, a challenging transition you are in. But this morning, God is saying to you, He is with you at your crossroad. He is there for you. And I want to pray for you that God will grant you the deep sense of peace, that God will grant you wisdom, and the strength of the Lord be upon you, that you know what to do in your present situation, even though it may be challenging at this point of your crossroad. But you look to the cross because the Lord is with you. If that's you, and I want to pray for you, whether you're in this hall or in Hall 2 or those watching online, and you say, yes, Pastor Kevin, pray for me. I'm at a crossroad and at a transition point. I need the hand of God. I need God's strength to rest upon me. I need wisdom. If that's you, wherever you are, you raise your right hands to the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, and behind. Yes, at the center. Yes, behind. And those at the hall too, you raise your hand. The pastors are there. And God sees your hand. You can put your hands down. The second group of people I want to pray for this afternoon is that those of you, somehow you're still in a winter season. You don't like it. You don't enjoy it. You are feeling that you are at a corner. and you can't wait to get out of this situation, and you don't understand why you are still, you know, in this situation. You have prayed, but somehow, you know, the doors are not open. There's no breakthrough at this point. But God is saying to you, those who are in such a situation, that your spring will come. Your spring will come. And you just have to be patient. You have to keep on waiting, keep on praying, and keep on trusting in the Lord, your God, because your spring will come. If that's you and you are in such a winter season still, I want to pray for you that as you wait for spring to come, that as you wait, God will grant you strength. That God will open your eyes, that you begin to see that the hand of God is upon your life. It is not a hopeless situation. There's great hope that you begin to rise up and say, God, I will trust in you and I believe that my spring will come. If that's you, I just want to pray for you wherever you are. Raise your right hands to the Lord. Yes, 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 yes. The Lord sees your hand. The Lord knows your name. The Lord knows your situation. And the Lord is here to minister to you. So I pray this afternoon, before you walk out of this hall, here at the hall too, that you walk to the altar. We want to pray with you and for you, that in His presence you experience the touch of God, you receive a word from Him, that God will do something powerful in your heart this afternoon, that as you walk out later, you walk out with a great sense of God's victory upon your life. So let's stand together right now, church. Let's stand together. I just sense the presence of the Lord is here and He wants to minister to you. And those who raised your hands earlier, those who did not, but you know you need prayer, you need the touch of the Lord, as we sing this song, I want to invite you to come to the altar. The pastors will be here, the leaders will be here. We're just going to spend some time to pray with you and for you and claim God's victory over your life, over your situation, that you experience the God of spring in a very powerful way. Yes, young people also, you come and just surrender your life. Just come. Those from the back, middle, you just walk out, find your place at the altar. Even those at hall two also, you walk out to the front. You know, the pastors are there to pray for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, dear Lord. Lord, we praise you. Thank you, dear Lord. Yes, just keep coming.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have been encouraged, make sure to follow us on Spotify. To get connected or find out more about the life of our church, visit us on our website at gladtidings.my or follow us on social media. Have a blessed week.